This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Ik with Lim Soo Ann and Kelly Anisa in the studio today. And as usual, we have two stories for you. First up, are we sabotaging our sleep in our quest to improve it? We will be taking a look at the use of sleep trackers and whether they really do help us to sleep better.
And messy men are given a pass, but messy women, to some, that's unforgivable. So more on that in our second story.
And on that note, we are asking you on Twitter, who does the housework in your home? So your options are men, women, or everyone pitches in. So you can tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
Meanwhile, here's Spinning Coin with Sleepless.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Spinning Coin with Sleepless, and speaking of sleepless, in our first story.
Yes, so sleep used to be quite simple. We get our 8 hours of sleep a night and wake up feeling refreshed. But as more and more people find it difficult to have a good night's sleep, whether due to stress or your excessive screen time, we're seeing all sorts of tips and tricks and even gadgets that aim at helping us sleep better. And you know, things like devices playing white noise or lavender-infused pillows.
Yes. It's a whole industry there.
Yeah, it is. But what we're specifically discussing about today is the use of sleep trackers. So sleep trackers don't measure your sleep directly, and instead they usually measure inactivity to estimate how long you've slept. Mm-hmm. And these apps come in the form of wearable watches or bands or even nearable devices on apps on your phones, and then you place them on your bed or your nightstand. Mm. So if you do use sleep trackers, you can share your experience with us on Twitter at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 about whether you think it helps you to sleep better.
Yeah, so they monitor and track everything from the duration, quality and phases of your sleep. So environmental factors such as the amount of light and temperature, and sometimes even lifestyle factors such as eating and exercise habits, are also monitored. So all of this data is then used to generate a report about your sleep.
Yeah, but a recent article in the New York Times has cautioned that the use of these apps and devices could actually be harmful to your sleep and potentially even exacerbate symptoms of insomnia. Because after all, using these apps and devices means that you're constantly fiddling with your phone in bed when you're waking up. And this is actually bad sleep hygiene. And for some people, worrying about their sleep goals that they set themselves can actually make bedtime anxiety even worse.
Yeah, because I do notice when you use an app to do something or anything that's tied to your device, you tend to be checking on it all the time. You think that you need to know what the results are and whether anything has changed or not.
And I think it makes you a lot more hyper aware and that just keeps you awake all the more.
That's true, yes. So this may develop into an unhealthy obsession with achieving perfect sleep. And you know, this obsession has a name of its own. It's called orthosomnia. So this term was coined in 2017 in a study published in the Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine, where they found that patients were spending excessive time in bed trying to increase their sleep numbers, which actually turns out to have made their insomnia worse.
Wow. And, you know, so Dr. Kelly Barron, one of the paper's authors, said that sleep trackers can be helpful in identifying sleep patterns. She herself tracks her bedtime with a Fitbit, but she has noticed a trend of patients complaining based on unverified scores, even for things like the amount of deep sleep, which varies by individual.
Right.
So, and they also found it difficult to persuade patients to stop relying on their sleep trackers, even if the numbers have been flawed.
Yeah, and the researchers said that these trackers actually can overestimate the amount of sleep that you get, particularly if they focus on tracking movements. So in theory, most trackers can tell if you're awake or you're asleep via accelerators. And these are sensors that detect your motion and along with the speed of that motion, the direction of that motion.
Okay.
So depending whether you move a lot or you don't move a lot, it might think that you're asleep in bed when you are still awake, or if you're awake but not moving, it may think that you are asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So And so it just can come up with a figure that is not necessarily accurate.
Mm.
And while there are devices that also track heart rate or breathing, and this might give a more complete picture, these are still only estimates.
Okay. And to give you an idea of, you know, how you should not take this, the data as gospel, here's a cautionary tale from the case study. So a woman came in reporting that she had an average sleep efficiency of only 60%, according to her tracker. And she was given medication for restless leg syndrome. She tested negative for disordered breathing and she underwent a formal sleep study. But after being told that she had slept deeply in the lab during the sleep study, she was still not reassured because her Fitbit had told her she's still sleeping poorly.
Right.
So she put more stock in what her Fitbit was telling her than all the other things that she'd been assessed for.
I mean, like Suan said earlier, when you move, I mean, like sometimes some people when they sleep, they move a lot, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So how does the app know you're actually asleep or awake?
Mm.
So the makers of sleep trackers have come out to defend their use and accuracy. Dr. Connor Hannigan, a research director for Fitbit, said that few people actually experience extreme sleep anxiety. Instead, tracking sleep can drive home the importance of a consistent bedtime and the time that you wake up. It also can underscore how factors like caffeine, alcohol, and exercise can affect our sleep patterns.
Mm. And Dr. Hannigan also said that these bands can provide reliable estimates based on algorithms that they developed in their own sleep laboratories.
Mm.
So, for example, he said that the company conducted a study in 2017 comparing the sleep data of 60 people using both Fitbits and medical-grade monitoring equipment in the laboratory. And what they found was that the data did match about 70% of the time.
Okay, but then there's also the problem that each device or app and its algorithms tend to be developed in isolation. So depending on which app you're using, different sleep trackers may give different scores on the same night. And so if there's no consistency there, it may be giving you a sort of distorted picture.
Mm. Yeah, and I think often also, Dr. Hannigan also said, the study is sponsored by the company itself.
Of course.
So sometimes you never know about the bias that happens in these studies.
Yeah.
So earlier today, I spoke to Dr. Rajveer Singh Saran, consultant ENT and sleep specialist, for his thoughts on the use of sleep trackers. What are your thoughts on the use of sleep tracker apps?
There are currently a lot of sleep trackers in the market. My frank opinion about it, if someone has a sleep problem, it is best actually to see and consult a doctor that's relevant to the problem. There are various phones and there are various gadgets like watches that provide sleep trackers.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel currently sleep trackers, they overestimate the problem and underestimate the actual person's sleep. So a patient who actually uses sleep trackers, they may get a bit worried sometimes when they look at the sleep trackers analysis. And this may actually, they may get worried about this more further. And this may make them more anxious and may cause more insomnia later and orthosomnia.
Mm-hmm. And how common is orthosomnia?
Orthosomnia is something just recently been researched upon in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming quite common nowadays because people are more conscious about their sleep. They want to be, people are more conscious about their life. So autosomnia is something that is growing. But I think sleep trackers are not the way for it to correct autosomnia.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way that sleep trackers could potentially be used in a productive manner?
I feel like why you need something to track your sleep. If you feel you need to sleep, you just sleep. You don't need something to monitor your sleep. During our sleep, sometimes we do move and we do get up occasionally. And and sometimes the movement from our bed partners also will cause some movements, and this may give a wrong figure to the sleep tracker. Frankly speaking, sleep trackers will give you much more problem later if you constantly use them because you're being focused on achieving good sleep. Whereas the fact is actually you just need to use good sleep hygiene, that avoid certain things like drinking caffeine at night, having good exercise, you know. Those are the main things. I think there is no role for sleep trackers because they overestimate the problem.
Mm-hmm. And I was doing some reading and, previous to the sleep trackers being developed, most people would use a sleep diary, for example. So, I mean, would that be a good way to monitor our own sleep and help us to get better sleep?
Sleep diaries, actually, they usually use it for when patients have insomnia. So this is where, they write, the timing that you, every time when you sleep daily and the time you wake up. Sleep diaries can be used, but then again, if you have a problem, then a sleep diary is useful, but it has its limitations as well. It just tells you the timing, average timing that you think that you're off the light, and the time that you think that you fell asleep, and the time you think you woke up or woke up in between. And sleep diaries would be more beneficial, actually, compared to sleep trackers, because sleep trackers go on body movements, and they are, like I said, they overestimate the problem. If someone has a sleeping problem, the best to get a formal sleep study done in the lab.
Mm-hmm. What would be your tips for good sleep hygiene for people to get a good night's sleep?
My tip would be eat in moderation. Don't eat so late. Avoid caffeine. Have regular exercises. Avoid playing your phone or watching TV too much before sleeping, at least about half an hour before sleeping. Reading a storybook or a paper, something that doesn't stimulate your mind. And it's best always to use the bedroom for bedroom activities rather than any work-related activities.
So that was Dr. Rajveer Singh Saran, consultant ENT and sleep specialist. So I will admit that I have tried using these sleep trackers before. I only used it maybe a couple of nights before I gave up.
Oh. You didn't see results at all?
A couple of nights.
Well, it was a... well, for me personally, I found that it was a bit too much effort. I have to make sure that it was... it has to be either on a nightstand near me or it has to be on my bed. And then the ones that I found, they were like, you had to make sure your phone is plugged in the whole night so that there's enough battery to keep the sensors going the whole night. And I don't know, it just seemed like a whole lot of effort for something like monitoring my sleep.
All right. But apart from that, the information that it gave you, did you find it helpful in terms of, you know, at least getting you to think about what you could be doing right or wrong when with regard to your sleep?
I think, like, based on the few days that I did use it, it did at least tell me, you know, how long I was sleeping, at least how long I was perhaps just moving about, trying to fall asleep or trying to wake up. I think, in a sense, it did give me a better idea of how much more I needed to sleep. And maybe if I did use it for a longer term, there would have been more results. And, what I personally found quite interesting was the use of a smart alarm, where it would, because the phone was placed near you, so based on your movement while you're sleeping, it would try to detect at what time around, say if you put the 6 or 7 in the morning, it would try to detect what when around that time period would be best to wake you up without making it seem too jarring, so that it's easier for you to wake up. But I don't think it worked for me.
Well, a couple of days, I think. Not enough to make that conclusion yet.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need a sleep tracker to tell me how bad my sleep habits are. And I mean, I understand the anxiety over getting enough sleep. And like I said earlier, like the more I'm aware of how much sleep I need, the harder it is for me to fall asleep at night.
Right.
Like when I know I have to get up early for something the next day, I'll be awake until 3.
The anxiety of it all.
Yeah.
But you say that you know how bad your sleep habits are. You know, whether or not you want to use an app, is there anything that you feel you can do to change your sleep habits?
I think learning how to manage my time better, I think that's the start of it. Because especially when you get home from work, you're tired, and I think I'm doing something I don't have to do. And by the time I actually have to do a certain task, it's too late. So I'm up until like 1 or 2 a.m. In the morning. Yeah, and then I have to wake up at like 6 or 7.
Right. Well, I know that part of your sleeping late was, you know, because you were baking cookies for us. So that's acceptable, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then I have them for breakfast. So I, like I said last week, I'm not the poster child for healthy lifestyles at all. The
room. But I found it very interesting what Dr. Rajveer Singh said, that, you know, why do you need to track sleep? If you need sleep, just sleep, right? And I think that this feeds, or rather this comes from this phenomenon that we are so reliant on our technology to give us answers for everything in our lives, something that really should be more intuitive, something like sleep and maybe even eating and all that, where we think that if there's an app on the phone, it's going to give us answers, whereas it doesn't. It's just a tool, perhaps to help you figure out things that you may not be able to think about on your own, like how much deep sleep you get, for instance. But what you do with that information, right? That's what's going to make a difference.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, like you said, it's just a tool. And some days, we may realise that on some days, we can't have that full 8 hours of sleep. And, you know, there'll be days that we can only afford to take a few hours of sleep, but then we can kind of pay off that sleep debt after a while. So I think we can always find our balance, and we don't need something like an app to constantly remind us. And at some point, those reminders will keep coming and we'll just start ignoring them.
Mm. I also find that as, you know, sleep is this industry, as I said earlier, you know, and the number of sleep apps out there, just looking at that gives me sleepless nights, you know, like which one do you choose? Which one's going to be best for you? Which fits your needs? So with technology, I feel that it, sometimes it just presents too much information for us and we don't know what to do with it and leads to more anxiety. So we'll have to take a short break soon, but coming up in our second story, we have a poll related to that.
Yes, so we're asking you on Twitter, who does the housework in your home? You have three options, men, women, or everyone pitches in. So you can continue to share your thoughts with us on Twitter by tweeting us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
So yes, that will be our second story, which is about how men and women are judged differently on the cleanliness of their house. Hmm. We'll leave you now first with Corinne Bailey-Ray, Trouble Sleeping on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.